The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Losing two starting quarterbacks in one season is pretty brutal. Luckily, we have a guy who wants to play football a little bit.
Purdy going to drop back to pass. Under pressure, going to step up. Try to run for it and go to the end zone standing. Purdy going to throw for the end zone for McCaffrey. Makes the catch for a touchdown. Purdy back. Now going to throw for the end zone. Wide open, Brandon Ayuk.
This team with Brock Purdy at quarterback is capable of winning the Super Bowl.
49ers quarterback Brock Purdy could be making his second career start tonight in the beautiful city of Seattle that you see right now. The reason we say might is because he's currently listed as questionable for the game after suffering an oblique injury this past Sunday. For more, we check in at the Domino's pregame headquarters where Adam Schefter is standing by. Schefty, what do we know about Brock Purdy's availability for this game?
Listed as questionable field, as you mentioned, due to oblique and rib injuries, and he is expected to start. It'll be his first NFL road start in a tough environment in Seattle against the Seahawks team that's fighting for a playoff berth. But keep in mind, he's not fully healthy, and that's why he got the questionable tag during practice this week, and they were light limited practices because of the short week with the game on Thursday night. The 49ers did get some work for Josh Johnson, who they signed once they lost Jimmy Garoppolo to the broken foot. So yes, Brock Purdy is expected to start, and yes, the 49ers also have prepared Josh Johnson in the event that they need to turn to him tonight, which tells you that Brock Purdy is not fully healthy.
Jeffy, I believe his proper name is Josh Well-Traveled Johnson, as he's played for about half the NFL by now in his career. More from Jeffy throughout the show, because there are a ton of quarterback updates around the league today. And let's go back to Brock Purdy. So if he does play tonight, let's keep our eyes on this. The 49ers rookie quarterback has been incredible on third down. Yeah, it's a tiny sample size. I know that. But Purdy has posted a 97 QBR, 55% first down rate, and a 90% completion percentage on 21 third down dropbacks. Out of 42 quarterbacks with at least 20 third down pass attempts this season, Purdy ranks first in all of those categories. That's what the numbers tell us. Let's get Dan Orlovsky in here to see what his eyes are telling him about Brock Purdy.
Yeah, this young man in this offense for Kyle Shanahan handles situations really well and then handles the line of scrimmage. So situationally, Kyle Shanahan loves to take advantage of kind of situational tendencies and our expectations. Babyface, you just talked about third down. This is third and five from the other game. Now pay attention to this. George Kittle is going to be lined up in the backfield. That's their tight end. So Brock Purdy's got to understand, like, okay, tight end in the backfield. What's the formation? How does that affect our protection calls? Well, if the tight end is in the backfield, where is the tailback then? Up top, Christian McCaffrey. Yep. Why are they doing that, right? They're flipping those guys, essentially, to get a matchup. There's a linebacker for the Tampa Bay defense matched up on them. Now, again, back to those situations of it being third and five. So often in these moments, defenses are like, okay, third and five, young quarterback, they're just going to try to get the ball out of his hands and maybe get a short completion. So off the ball, they're going to show what we call double slants indoor lion to the defense, okay? I love that from Kyle Shanahan, kind of presenting it, understanding that defensive backer, that linebacker's peeking in as Brock Purdy's peeking that way. But Kyle Shanahan loves to throw changeups. Instead of that lion concept, he's going to go sluggo and whip route. The defender breaks on the ball, third and five, touchdown. Great job by Brock Purdy handling all that stuff. But this is my favorite play of the game. Handling the line of scrimmage and or the situation of the moment. Everybody at home, really pay attention to George Kittle and McCloud, one and two here, okay? As they get to the line of scrimmage, look at as Kittle starting to, like, communicate, like, yeah, hey, who's on the ball, who's off the ball, right? This is great. Look at Kittle, like, right now he's on the ball, and he's like, oh, man, I got to get off the ball as he's starting to talk to that official, right? Now, this is the reality. That's an illegal formation by these two guys. Neither of those guys is on the ball right now.
Okay.
So this right now for the offense is an illegal formation. We often say this with quarterbacks, right? Like, give the play a chance. Look at Kittle's like, hey, man, I'm the guy off the ball. Now McCloud is going to be the guy that starts going in motion, and Kittle's like, uh-oh, we got a problem. We don't have anybody legally on the football. So he's going to go, hey, I got to step onto the ball. Look at Brock Purdy right now. He's in complete control of this situation. Go, no, 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 guys. We have an issue, right? We are not in a legal formation, and right now we have two guys in motion. Give the play a chance to actually get started. This is great by him, completely controlling the situation. Now Kittle's on the ball. Great, you're in a legal formation. And now pay attention, because McLeod's going to come back going, oh, man, you know what? Maybe I got to get lined back up. And Brock Purdy's like, no, 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 no. Just get yourself in your formation. He's going to peek back over to the right where Kittle is. Right now, okay, we're all in our perfect formation. Now we have a chance for our coach to take advantage of the moment. So often Kyle Shanahan likes to go curl, flat, and shallow cross, and they would read it 1, 2, to 3, essentially. Well, Kyle's going to again take advantage of that situation. Instead of that curl, he's going to tell Ayuk, you bubble go, here he comes, defensive back, stutter your feet, curl and go, touchdown. So Brock Purdy's ability to handle all those moving parts, but then also handle the line of scrimmage as a young player, give that play a chance to get started, get those moving pieces and set in place, equals a touchdown. How often do we see those young players ruin those moments or not be able to handle them, and a touchdown goes into a penalty? Great job.
Yeah, such a great example. First of all, I'm not sure what's better, the work by Brock Purdy, the work by you, but how often are we talking about plays that are actually won before the ball is snapped? Totally. Classic example right there from our guy, Dan Orlovsky. And Dan and I, we're here in-house, left to right. You know the rest of this crew, of course. Marcus Swagoo Spears, Mina Kimes, and Keyshawn Johnson. We're trying to get Key to send us some of that L.A. weather here in chilly Bristol, Connecticut. We've got a ton to get to for tonight's matchup. It is a huge one between Seattle and San Francisco, and Pete Carroll, the Seahawks head coach, was asked about facing the impressive rookie quarterback that Dan just broke down. Take a listen.
They threw the heck out of the football last week, when it was the first time out, and then again this week, displaying, you know, demonstrating that they trust him. I mean, you can't see it any other way. They trust the guy. And what a remarkable amount of improvement he must have made to put himself in that position with so little and limited playing time. You know, he must be a terrific practice player and all that. He's done it really well. It's a really impressive start.
Sure has, but I feel like we all feel the same way about Brock Purdy. The guy just shows up and gets to work right away. Let's talk about him, though, Key, as a wide receiver. How is it different playing with Brock Purdy in this offense than it would have been with Jimmy Garoppolo under center?
You know, for me, I don't believe just looking at it on his first two games, there's no difference. In fact, I think Brock Purdy is doing a tremendous job. He's friendly. And what I mean by that, the balls are catchable. They're very friendly. You can catch it, grab it, and get up, get yak yards after the fact. If you look at everything that Dan showed you right there, that's what you want in your quarterback. You want friendly footballs in your hands. You want it within that frame of the body so you can now get it, get up the field quick, fast, and hurry. And he has command of the huddle. And I know, like you said, Babyface, it's a small sample size. But you know what we fall in love with? We fall in love with small sample sizes. Mm. And this is what I like to call him, Brock Pretty, right now, because we are falling in love with him. If he's able to go at full strength tonight, the Seattle Seahawks are going to be in for a long night for sure.
Yeah, I agree, man. But listen, like I love the love that Brock Purdy is getting, and rightfully so. He's played well enough for us to have multiple conversations on all the shows on ESPN. But the bottom line is, we know that coming into a week against the San Francisco 49ers, majority of the week is spent with defensive coaches thinking, how in the hell are we going to stop this run game? It was thought about that with Jimmy Garoppolo. It was thought about that with any quarterback that lines up back there. And the success and the addition of Christian McCaffrey, as much as we talked about Brock Purdy, it got lost in the fact that Christian McCaffrey had a monster game on the ground against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of those defenses we used to say you couldn't run the football over. I think this element is what's been added, though. His ability for extension of plays. Right, that's there. What this offense really lacked. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't going to extend plays, give guys a bit more time to either uncover or go pick up some of those difficult third downs when the defense potentially has your number. It'll be the same for the Seattle Seahawks. If you can't stop the run, you ain't going to beat the 49ers. And right. I might could play quarterback for him because the picture is that clear.
Your arm
when
is kind of nice, Swagoo.
Yeah, I agree with you, Marcus. Maybe not about you playing quarterback. I don't know how that would go. But I agree with you about everything else you said. You know, Brock Purdy is going to face some pretty difficult challenges in December and then in January, maybe, you know, as long as this goes. But this really isn't one of them because it's a mismatch for Seattle's defense in a number of ways. They can't stop play action. They can't stop screens. But really, it's the success of other teams on the ground that's been killing him. And it's also the particular types of runs that it gives them trouble. So last week against Carolina, there was a drive in the fourth quarter where they just spam counter over and over. And let me tell you, every single one of those runs was successful.
Wow.
And this has been a trend actually all year long. The Seahawks defense is actually third in the NFL in yards per carry against inside zone. But against power and counter, so gap runs, they are third worst, allowing over 7 yards per carry. Now, the 49ers offense has had a pretty diverse running game this year. You've seen different types of approaches. I wouldn't be as surprised if we see a lot of pullers tonight, because that's something that Seattle has struggled against all year.
Completely agree. Last week, their best run game of the season, San Francisco, it was a lot of zone stuff, a lot of the split flow coming back across the line of scrimmage. But, MK, I remember when we did the whole sit-down and the evolution of the run game for this year, we talked about how they were really becoming a gap scheme type of run game. Mm. I think the problem for Seattle, at least from my offensive perspective, is when they see those gap schemes, poor fits. They're not awful when the zone scheme happens in the fits. And what I mean by that is like guys hitting with the right shoulder or sending the ball to the right way.
Sure.
They really struggle doing that versus that gap scheme. I completely agree. I mean, a bunch of gap schemes tonight.
Yeah, key players out or missed part of last week's game for Seattle, and both Shelby Harris, he was sick, and obviously Big Al Woods, who's the best run defender on that team alongside Puna Ford. We'll see how much those guys are available tonight. It's week 15, as we said. We are in full swing. And I told you, Adam Schefter had a bunch of quarterback updates. Let's begin in Baltimore, Schefty, with Tyler Huntley. Is he good to go to start for the Ravens this Saturday?
Feel he's good to go. Lamar Jackson is not. Tyler Huntley has essentially cleared through concussion protocol. He is expected to start Saturday. Lamar Jackson is ruled out, and the soonest he could come back, obviously, would be on Christmas Eve versus the Atlanta Falcons. So it'll be up to Tyler Huntley on Saturday to keep Baltimore's playoff hopes alive. Jackson out, Huntley in. Russell Wilson, limited in practice today, still in that concussion protocol from the big hit he suffered on Sunday on this play when he went face first to the ground. Still think it would be a huge surprise if he wound up playing, and if Russell Wilson can't play on Sunday, Brett Rypien would start for the Denver Broncos. Bears quarterback Justin Fields, who missed practice yesterday due to an illness, was back at practice today in full, which tells you that he is tracking to be able to play on Sunday for the Chicago Bears. They're coming up to bye week, came back to work a little sick, but obviously feeling better today, a good sign for Chicago. And earlier today, the Jets quarterback, Mike White, told reporters that he plans to play on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. He's been limited in practice due to the rib injuries that he sustained on Sunday against Buffalo. On this hit, the other hit, took a beating on Sunday, but Mike White has made it known that he wants to play on Sunday against Detroit. It's also worth pointing out this week that Robert Saleh said that Zach Wilson is now the Jets' number two quarterback, backing up Mike White.
Yeah, we'll find out on the official game status report tomorrow whether Mike White will give it or go. That one certainly could go all the way up until about 90 minutes before kickoff. Plenty of great stuff from Schefty and plenty of stuff ahead here on NFL Live as the Bills are looking to split the season series with Miami. Swagoo tells us what Josh Allen can take away from what Justin Herbert did to the Dolphins D last week. Plus, could the Cowboys have their hands full against the red-hot Trevor Lawrence-led Jaguars? Someone here says this receiver group is the best Dallas has faced in weeks.
Pre-game headquarters is brought to you by Domino's. Get a taste of variety when you order off the Domino's Mix and Match menu.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you.
Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NFL Live is brought to you by Avatar, The Way of the Water, only in theaters tonight. Let's go. Hey, the Sunday NFL Countdown crew has you covered for Week 15, 10 a.m. Eastern time. And then Monday Night Countdown gets you set for Rams and Packers, 6 Eastern. Both are on ESPN and the app. So there are a lot of ways to tell the stories as it pertains to pressuring quarterbacks and the Dolphins, at least of late. You have been better than Miami, who have 13 sacks in their past 3 games. Dolphins have been getting after quarterbacks since the acquisition specifically of Bradley Chubb, but that may not make that big of a difference on Saturday. That's because Josh Allen has been absurd under pressure this season, ranking first in QBR, first down rate, and yards per dropback. As we get back here with the crew on NFL Live and Swagoo, what's the one thing you want to see from the Bills offensively on Saturday night against the Dolphins?
Yeah, you hear all the time that the NFL is a copycat league, yep. And there are certain things that you watch defenses struggle with that you should try to implement. And it's Justin Herbert and how he was on the move. Praise God that Joe Lombardi had an awakening. I think this should be a little bit of what Josh Allen, Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator for the Bills, implement with Josh. It's not to get away from what you want to do offensively, but the straight drop back, as we've seen with Jaylen Phillips and obviously Chubb coming over, teams are having problems, and also Christian Wilkins on the inside. So I think a lot of this, a lot of what you see with the Buffalo Bills to me offensively, and give credit to the New York Jets and that defensive line, mm-hmm. and how dominant they were.
Yeah.
And then Josh Allen having to revert to using his legs. But I also think a little movement would help this offense for as explosive as Josh Allen is.
I think this plays right into their hands, though, Swagoo, being at home, being in this weather. You know how I feel about the cold and warm weather teams going to the cold and having to play. If Josh Allen can keep the turnovers down, don't make the late game mistakes trying to be a hero if the game is close. Just play within yourself. One of the things I talked to Brandon Bean, the general manager, the other day of the Buffalo Bills, and one of the things he said to me is that this is why we drafted Josh. We knew we would be in situations like this where we got to throw the ball in cold weather. We've got to utilize big, strong quarterback play out of him when the season gets to the point where it is now. Because if they have the desire to go to the Super Bowl and they're going to have home field advantage at some point, he's got to play at a certain level in this weather because the weather is here to stay.
Well, as we know, Keith, that weather starts in November for Buffalo, right? They had to move a game in November to Detroit,
yes,
of course,
absolutely.
Which was just crazy circumstances.
Did I see that they're calling for, like, legit 9 inches of snow during
things,
the game?
Things change fast, yeah. But the National Weather Service did say there could be a total of 15 to 22 inches throughout the entire weekend. So we'll see whether that impacts the game, how much is on the field, how much is not.
Just sleds.
I can promise you, no, I'll be on my couch.
Get your sleds ready, bub.
With the kids. The kids are going to have a blast this weekend up there in Buffalo. But, Dan, let's get back to the football side of this. Take us through the 3 most important things for the Bills' game plan on Saturday.
I don't think the signing of Cole Beasley is like this game-changing thing, but I don't think it's a little either. How he works the middle of the field is going to be big for this offense.
Yeah.
Those choice routes that he had such a great feel for, leverage, the color of the defense, you know, finding spots in zone, I think is a big deal. The second thing is using that motion. Force the defense for Miami to communicate. See if you can get some information. Remember, Miami's a big pressure defense. If I motion a guy over and nobody moves, great, now I know the blitz is coming. And then that brings to the final point. You better have a plan for pressure. And I know Babyface just talked about how good Josh Allen has been versus that blitz this season, but Miami's not going to change. I mean, Miami's going to continue to come after you. And they did have some moments of success this past weekend coming after Los Angeles and Justin Herbert. So Josh Allen and that Buffalo Bills offense has got to have a really good understanding of, okay, if they are going to bring the pressure, what's our plan for it? And you guys hear me say this all the time. Is it try to get it out and survive or block it up and hurt you? And it'll be interesting to see if the weather impacts what their thought is Buffalo offensively, because sometimes you want to go, let's block them up and hurt them, but if we're getting 7 inches of snow and crazy wind, maybe it's a different option for Buffalo.
Swagoo, both these teams like to throw the football. Certainly Miami loves to throw the football down the field. If it is a weather-impacted game, if there is snow all over the yard, does that favor one offense versus the other on Saturday?
I think, I would go favoring Buffalo because of Josh Allen. I mean, look, he's the ultimate equalizer when it comes to as far as much as I've ranted about the Buffalo Bills needing to run the football more, which I still think they do. I think they get away from it sometimes, and it concerns me with a team with so much success on the outside. But with Josh Allen's legs, his physical ability, and I know the health always comes into question, I would edge out Buffalo in the run game in this one.
Whether it's a run game or the pass game, I edge out Buffalo, no question about it, because when you got a big, strong quarterback, and Dan knows this, that can pierce that football through the wind, oh, my God, that is amazing to have.
Yeah, we'll see whether or not Miami has Jeff Wilson Jr. for their running game on Saturday night. But I would have, a couple weeks ago, we saw the Bills get after it on the ground. Perhaps they can again this upcoming Saturday night. Hey, Trevor Lawrence been on a tear of late for the Jaguars, and Mina will tell us next the one thing the Cowboys defense better not do when they take on the Jaguars this weekend, week 15, a massive, massive slate.
Let's go!
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Monday Night Football is back as Aaron Rodgers and the Packers play host to Baker Mayfield and the Rams at Lambeau Field.
NFC teams, Player of the Week, Baker Mayfield.
Let's go. Both teams, if they want to make the playoffs, need to win this one. 8 Eastern on ESPN and ABC, ESPN Deportes and ESPN+. The Manning cast is on ESPN2. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. Schefter will be there. He'll be very cold. It's supposed to be extremely Green Bay on Monday night. So we weren't even sure last week if Trevor Lawrence is going to be healthy enough to start against the Titans. How's this? He started, and he went on to become the youngest player in NFL history with 350 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown in the same game. He's 23 years old and some change. It's just ridiculous. It's a continued trend for Lawrence, who's been playing excellent recently. Since week 9, the Jaguars quarterback ranks 4th in total QBR, 1st in completion percentage, and is tied for the league's best touchdown-to-interception ratio, 10-0. That's good. Seems like that's like Dan Orlovsky numbers in my estimate.
Yeah. Back at Shelton High School versus Amity.
Shout out to Shelton High School. Let's get Mina involved here. And Mina, where have you seen the biggest growth from Trevor specifically over the past 5-6 weeks?
Field, he's doing so many things well. He's really putting it all together. You saw in those highlights, he's so good on the move. He's so good throwing on the move. The feel for pressure is amazing. But the one thing that really jumped out to me last week, it's not that complicated. It's just the ball placement on his throws. And this is massive because in the first half of the season, Trevor was 27th in QBR against man coverage. Now, some of that had to do with the receivers not getting separation versus man. But over the last month, he has jumped to 2nd in the NFL against man coverage. And a lot of it is just the accuracy on difficult throws. I mean, in that Titans game, he threw 2 of the prettiest back shoulder balls you will see all season. Yeah. If he keeps that up against a Cowboys team that plays a lot of man coverage, this could be closer than it seems.
That thing was pretty, boy. That thing was pretty. Let me go to the other side, man, because I printed it up. I'm a little bit concerned, y'all. Like last week for the Houston Texans, wide receiver Chris Moore, who probably the whole country doesn't know, and I'm going to use one of Mina's stats, 3.8 yards of separation against Kelvin Joseph. This is going to be about who's opposite from Trayvon Diggs. Mm. And Trevor Lawrence knows it. Just like I talked about the copycat league when we saw the Chargers last week again, this is going to be a similar situation. You will be attacked. One, I want to see how Dan Quinn either adjusts and tries to help, because this will be the best group of wide receivers that the Cowboys have faced in a few weeks. And I'm looking forward to seeing how, not only how they adjust to that, we know Ingram is going to be working the middle of the field. So at times, to your point, MK, these guys will be on the island, man to man, against some of these receivers from the Jacksonville Jaguars. It has to be a concern based on what we saw last week with the Houston Texans. So I'm really interested to see how Dan Quinn shifts and tries to help underneath that, underneath Kelvin Joseph, over the top of Kelvin Joseph, and see if that compromises your defense in any way with the way that Trevor Lawrence is playing.
Seeing Trevor Lawrence play so well as a young player is so good, just from a fan of his game. The job that Doug Peterson and Press Taylor have done instilling the confidence back into him, I don't believe we can kind of quantify that. My favorite part of the offense right now, and this is where they're going to test Dallas a little bit, is how they've got like very specific roles for each guy and what they ask each guy in their pass game to do. And Evan Ingram is starting to come on for them because they're not asking him to be somebody that he's not. Oftentimes it's like very simple stuff. Hey, Evan, bottom of screen, run a shallow cross. This is a very easy route for you down in the red zone. Run away from a guy that you are faster and bigger than. That's not hard to do unless you are incapable of running fast. Here's it, like, run a flat route. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you to be this elite route runner or make these incredibly difficult catches, but you're just a guy that we kind of want to get the ball in your hands to allow you to be a yards after the catch type of guy. I mean, bottom of the screen, he's going to run a five-yard hitch. Go up, Trevor will throw it to you. These aren't things that are tasking him too much with the nuance of route running, because that's not what he is. We'll give you a little play fake screen. Again, it's not the exact role that like a Deebo Samuel is, but it's not all that different either. It's how many different ways can we get the, it's like, where's Waldo? Yeah. How many different ways can I take him and move him around and give him those touches? And to Mina's point versus man coverage, I'll be interested to see how Dallas tries to defend him.
It's such a good point, because Evan Ingram was drafted where he was because of his incredible athleticism. Yeah. And there's times where that hasn't been taken advantage of. He had the drops in New York. What you just described, and I think why he had this breakout game, is a realization. We just got to get the ball in this dude's hands.
Yep.
And if that continues against Dallas, I mean, it could. Really, it just comes down to whether or not Trevor has enough time, because his playmakers in space can beat those Dallas DBs.
You guys have me flashing back to the combine. 4.44 for Evan Ingram. Yeah. Love that guy in college. He's been kind of the Ole Miss version of himself in the pro level now. We heard Marcus talking about the pressure on the cornerbacks in the passing game. You think the running game will also test that group? How come?
Because I don't know if there's an offense that gets the ball to the perimeter in their run game as consistently and as strategically as Jacksonville does. You know, Mina talked about like Trevor Lawrence's playmaking ability and his pocket movement, but also like the reality that they want to try to get the ball outside and force those guys to tackle. One of the reasons why is because defensive backs can't necessarily cut guys offensive lineman-wise anymore. So you get those guys outside the tackle box. There's 330 pounds running athletically. The Dallas secondary and those corners are going to have to be willing to come on and take tackles on. And Travis Etienne is a difficult tackle out on the perimeter, man. I think they're going to challenge the perimeter for Dallas both through the air and on the ground.
Dan, I'm glad you said that. Look, the most important person when it comes to this run defense for Dallas is going to be Donovan Wilson. He's going to be a free hitter.
Yeah.
He's going to have to get Travis Etienne on the ground. The edges obviously will be under attack. That's where Dallas has been harmed the most this season, on the ground. But when you have those that strong safety down with the opportunity to tackle, and to your point, Travis Etienne is not easy to get the ground when you meet him in a certain level of space going side to side. So Donovan Wilson is going to have his hands full. You're going to have to make plays in the hole, man.
It's amazing the Jaguars haven't really gotten Travis Etienne involved that much as a pass catcher, and yet he's still having a great season. Yeah. That was the strength of his game back in his college days at Clemson. Developing story here on NFL Live is 49ers quarterback is listed as questionable tonight, but San Francisco fans can breathe a sigh of relief as Adam Schefter is reporting that Purdy will be out there tonight despite oblique and rib injuries. And for more now, we check back in at the game at the Domino's pregame headquarters. Our guy Coley Harvey is standing by from slightly chilly Seattle. Coley, good to see you. It looks like despite being banged up, we'll have Brock Purdy out there tonight. What is the 49ers team confidence in this young QB who will make his first career start on the road tonight at an always hostile Seattle stadium?
hostile indeed. Field, I've got four words for you, and that's welcome to the NFL.
Yeah.
It's a phrase that Brock Purdy, the Niners quarterback, has been hearing a lot from his teammates this week, and that's their way of saying, hey, look, you've been playing consistently strong these last couple of weeks, but can you continue to do that on this short four-day turnaround? This is, of course, the first time that Brock Purdy will be starting in his young career on a Thursday night, and his head coach, Kyle Shanahan, he certainly believes that Purdy can remain this consistently strong performer that we've seen of late. The primary reason he believes that is the growth that he has witnessed from Purdy these last couple of weeks. Shanahan basically saying if he gets these opportunities, he's going to continue to get better, continue to improve the more that he gets a chance to play on the field. There's also this caveat that I also want to add on Purdy, and that's the fact that he is seemingly cucumber cool when it comes to being under duress and under pressure. Last week in the win over Tampa Bay, Purdy was 6 of 7 with 2 touchdowns when being pressured. That's just one example of that cool demeanor coming through and one reason why the 49ers are so confident in him.
Coley, great stuff as always. Enjoy the game tonight. Should be a very fun one with significant NFC West playoff implications in Seattle. Hey, I hear there are some horses coming through.
You want the clue?
Oh, my God.
You want
give me the clue. Give me the clue. Okay, let me hear
it. All right, he's got something in common with someone who's on this show today.
Okay, so Swagoo, Mina, Key, me. I got nothing whatsoever.
That's the clue, champ. Okay. Come on.
Oh, man. Find out next on NFL Live. The NFL has headed back to Las Vegas for the 2023
we'll
Pro
there.
Bowl games. Dan will be there.
We'll be there.
All new skills challenges and the first ever NFL flag football games on Sunday, February 5th. Tickets now on sale. In the meantime, the Pro Bowl roster, it's in your hands. Voting ends today. So go scan that QR code and make this on the screen and make your voice heard. It's Thursday. It can mean
Let's
only one
on
thing.
The wagon.
The Dan wagon.
Let's
All right,
get on
Dan.
The wagon.
Who's on the wagon?
I'm not giving
I
the answer.
Venture zero
do,
guess.
You haven't. Do you know?
When in doubt, I guess Tom Brady, who is not
it's
the answer.
It's not Tom Brady. Everybody knows how big of a fan I am of this young man and his game.
Okay.
I gave you guys all a clue that he had something in common with someone who's on the show today. Three, two. You have
Let's
a guess.
With, I said Tom Brady. I guess.
Garrett Wilson.
Oh.
New York Jets rookie wide receiver.
Oh.
You. Young feller on the Dan wagon. He's probably the front runner right now for Offensive Rookie of the Year, as he should be.
Yep.
He's 132 receiving yards shy of becoming the first Jets player with 1,000 yards since like Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, 2015. He's averaging 92 yards per game since week 8. That's the fourth most in the league behind Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, and a guy
Stupid
named Devontae Adams. Absolutely balling. He's also averaging the most yards after the catch per game over that span with almost 40 yards. So we're talking about a dude who's balling. The last thing is this, and I hope he's watching. He already has set, already with like 4 games to go,
okay.
Has set the Jets rookie record for receiving yards with 868, breaking some guy, Keyshawn Johnson's record, 844.
Kashawn.
He's already broken that right
there. You would say Kashawn, your country club fool.
Man, Key, he already broke
hey,
your
he's
record.
He's balling, though, for sure.
He already broke your record.
He has
Man, I can't help it. I can't help it. He's better than me. What can I say?
Wow.
Did someone mark hack that down. Account? Mark that down.
Oh
Everybody in studio, mark that down.
Keyshawn People Johnson. Are,
that's the first time Keyshawn has ever said somebody's better than anything at him.
That
I'm proud
amazing.
Of you, man.
Yeah, Keith,
I'm proud
a big moment right there.
That's
Garrett
gross.
Wilson. That's how you
gross.
Know Garrett Wilson.
These horses will do that to you. These horses will do that to you. They soften you up.
That's how you know that you are the real deal, like Garrett Wilson. Not just that's on the bandwagon, so but also better than Keyshawn Johnson, according to Key himself. All right, time to see what's on trend around the NFL. I give you a stat. One of our analysts will tell you if that trend should be expected to continue this upcoming week. And we start in the nation's capital, where two of the league's best interior defensive linemen take the field on Sunday night. This season, Jonathan Allen and Dexter Lawrence rank second and third, respectively, in pressures amongst interior defensive linemen. Only KC's Chris Jones is ahead of them. So, Mina, I'm going to start with you. Which one of these guys takes over the matchup between the Giants and the Commanders on Sunday night?
Field, I am going to cheat. The answer is both
yes.
of them. This
Thank you.
Is the story of the game. These two big men are bawling, to steal Marcus's language a bit. And really, I think whether either of these offenses has any success is if they can avoid getting into pass rush situations, because both, actually outside of even Lawrence and Allen, both defensive lines are better than both offensive lines in this game. They got to run the ball well. They got to get those quarterbacks on the move, because if they don't, Allen and Lawrence will eat.
Who loves a flex game between the Giants and the Commanders? We all do.
All right, we all do.
Let's go to the Titans, who have struggled significantly on defense against play action this season. Tennessee ranks 29th in opponent QBR and has allowed a league-high 10 touchdown passes on play action this season. Sunday, they'll face a Chargers team that uses play action at the 8th highest rate in the league. All right, so Key, does this trend continue by Justin Herbert and the Chargers against the Titans this weekend?
Absolutely. Run the football to Austin Ekeler. Put the football in the belly of him, pull it out, go over the top play action pass, because the secondary can't handle the trees. The trees of Allen, Williams, and Everett at the tight end spot. Justin Herbert is going to kill them with the play action pass game.
I'm looking for a lot of points on Sunday in that game, but again, has huge playoff implications. Let's move from the Chargers and the Titans to the Chiefs, who have excelled on defense with the use of their screen game. And by defense, I mean offense, of course.
Hey, boy.
This season, Patrick Mahomes leads the league in QBR, touchdown passes, and ranks second in first down rate when throwing screen passes. 38% of his screen passes have resulted in a first down. That's a 13% higher percentage than the league average. Dan, those are great numbers there, but does the tape match up with the numbers?
There's no doubt about it. This is the best screen team in football. And we talk about all the time, this team is going to face offensively so many too high defenses, so many shell defenses. So can they run it with their 12 or 13 personnel? Pacheco, absolutely. But this is another way that they counter that as well. They're great with, and it takes everybody, the wide receivers and their releases taking defenders, the landmarks of the backs and or tight ends getting that screen pass, the way the offensive line communicates who's got who when they get out into their blocking and the timing of it, all that matters. They're the best coach team screen-wise in the NFL, and they are the best executing screen team in the NFL. It's a pleasure to watch on tape.
They can throw it downfield. They can also throw it behind the line of scrimmage for big plays. Hey, coming up next, the 49ers, a pretty good chance of clinching the NFC West at some point. But the Marcus explains why Geno has a tough matchup tonight for Seattle, who needs to win to keep their division and playoff hopes alive.
Even more. Hit another gear. Fire when ready.
Foot race to the end zone. This is when we start to turn it up. Got to keep this train rolling.
Week 15 starts tonight with the 49ers traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. And how about this in terms of magnitude? According to ESPN analytics, with a win tonight, the Seahawks would have a 78% chance to make the postseason. With a loss, that dips down to 39%. Big part of this game, of course, is Geno Smith. He has the tough task of facing the league's number one defense tonight, but he also may have an edge given San Francisco's high use of zone coverage this year. Geno in 2022 ranks second in QBR against zone coverage and leads the league in both completion percentage and touchdown passes. Meanwhile, the 49ers have used zone on 68% of their opponents' dropbacks as the third highest rate in the league. Swaggy, we're going to start with you. What challenge does this present the 49ers defense tonight, given how well Geno has played this season and how well they have played on defense as well?
Yeah, Babyface, we've had multiple discussions about how good the 49ers defense have been. And people have talked about the linebacker, Fred Warner, and obviously Dre Greenlaw, but the impact that they have on the game, they force these quarterbacks to be patient. We saw it with Tua in that matchup about how depth of drop changed his perception and how he wanted to throw the ball. Buggy sent me a great stat. Fred Warner leads all linebackers in passes defended and second. And it's the second lowest completion percentage when he's in coverage in his area. So it's a challenge because Geno has been outside of him breaking the pocket, a very timing quarterback. This team has been very good offensively because of play action. And now they're about to play one of the best defenses, but also two of the best linebackers at diagnosing run pass and making quarterbacks hold the ball longer than desired. So it'll be interesting to see how Geno goes against that, not only having DK and Tyler Lockett with the ability to kind of stretch things on the outside.
Everything that Swaghoo just said right there, Phil, is a plus because Kenneth Walker is coming back into the lineup for them tonight. So that's going to help Geno Smith out tremendously. We saw Geno over the last couple of games struggle a little bit. Kenneth Walker not in the lineup in those games. But now when you look at a young rookie like this just dominating the NFL and not afraid to gash it up in between the tackles or bounce it on the outside, the play-action pass game certainly slows things down for Geno Smith. So Warner and company on the other side of the ball for the San Francisco 49ers are going to have their work cut out for them tonight.
Sure will. They always make you earn it. Baby that much face. Is for sure. That's why I go to got.
But let me say something, too, because I know a lot of people talk about the San Francisco 49ers and how well they defend and how well they defend the run. Key was there. I played on some really good run defenses in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And the teams that were able to have success because they didn't shy away from it are the ones that put us in the most stress. So Seattle better go into this game not just saying we're going to throw the run game out of the window and try to figure out how to have offense against this defense. They better attempt it at the minimum to keep this defense honest.
Got to stay true to who you are offensively. With a win tonight, by the way, San Francisco would win their second division title under Kyle Shanahan. Let's dive into this game a little bit more with Mina and Dan from a different angle. Mina, we'll start with you. The Geno-led Seahawks have lost three of their past four games, including that loss last week where Geno kind of put it on his own shoulders after a pair of interceptions. Yeah. What has become less effective for that offense in recent weeks?
Well, first I'll defend Geno. One of those interceptions should have been a free play, and he thought it was going to be.
Offside.
But that said, he has been pressing, and I think there's a couple of reasons for that field. One is some of the easy completions that they used to draw up for him have no longer been there, notably the boot game, which was an automatic first down for much of the season. In recent weeks, the EPA per play on those has been negative, in large part because edge rushers are just peeling off and going for Geno. Now, the way you counter that is you run the football, which is another thing that the Seahawks have struggled to do over the last few weeks. Even, frankly, when Kenneth Walker was in the lineup, this was a challenge for them. And it's so important in this game because, of course, against this 49ers pass rush, you do not want to be in third and long. So they have to get it back on track, I think, to get the boot game and make that more effective, and then also just to keep Geno Smith from pressing as much as he has.
Yeah, tonight it just feels like a game that if the Seahawks are going to win, it's going to take Geno Smith's best game of his career. Okay, I know that Marcus just said, don't get away from the run game. Sure, and Mina just talked about how it would help their boot game. San Francisco has not allowed a 60-yard rusher in 13 games.
It's ridiculous, Dano.
That's the longest streak since 1933. We're talking 90 years. So I would argue, you better not even try to run the football because Mina just hit like, dude, you don't want to get into those third and long situations, and I agree. But this just feels like a game that Seattle and Geno have to be very aggressive on first down, not efficient. Mm. Take your shots downfield. You are not methodically going to march the ball downfield on this defense. Take your shots. First down, second down, first down mindset.
Hey, listen, I know the fantasy side not always appeals to everybody, but I might be benching Kenneth Walker III in fantasy tonight. That's how good that 49ers defense has been against the run. One more check in our developing story as Brock Purdy will start for the 49ers tonight. That rookie who's been really good over the past 2 weeks is questionable because of oblique and rib injuries. Shefty says he's good to go. Josh Johnson is the backup. No quarterback elevated from the practice squad. And let's get ready to the game picks. Before we actually make our game picks, just check out Key, man. Look at this. Look at this dude right there, Dano.
I love that. That's Key's best look all season.
Mina with the blonde hair. I don't know what kind of hat I'm wearing right there. And then Dano's got dreadlocks now.
Babyface got that tan, man.
I know.
Can we get straight off the that beach. Back?
Hey, by the way, we are all on the San Francisco 49ers. So congratulations, Seahawks, on pulling the upset tonight because that just clinched it right there. And our defense goes.
This is usually a curse.
I love it.
This is usually a mark of death.
Of course, Dan would have it as a one-point game.
We all think it's going to be a close game. Hey, time now for one more thing. And if you're sitting there wondering, where the heck is Laura Rutledge and when is Field Yates getting off my TV? I'll tell you the answer after tomorrow But Laura is going to be a very busy individual today, and here's the reason why. Laura's going back to her roots. She'll be hosting the Miss America show tonight. Hey. How about this? I mean, Laura particularly participated in this. Unbelievable. Laura is the best for so many different ways. Yes. Empowering woman. Yeah, okay, Swagoo. Shout out little pageant wave.
Shout
right
out to
there.
Rutledge. There's okay. nothing that she can't it. Do.
By the way, she finished top 15 of the competition back.
Boogie, tell Miss Louisiana to go get that thing.
Good luck to you, Laura.
Go get that thing, Miss Louisiana.
We'll have her back talking football before you know it. NFL Live is back here tomorrow. Same time, same place.